Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. As we've been walking through this series, our focus has been about seizing the moment. In the first week, we looked at a fellow by the name of Shamgar, who was a judge, who was really not your prototypical judge. This was someone who didn't wait to be great to do something great. And it was a reminder for us that we don't have to wait till we get all the right resources to be great, but that God can use us right where we are. So I do believe that we have some Shamgars who are here that need to be used by God by making themselves available to God. Amen. Then we looked at another fellow who was a demon-possessed man from Mark chapter 5. We remember that this brother had experienced nothing great as it relates to community. He was being hurt by his community. He was being harmed by his community, and yet he didn't allow that to hinder him from getting to Jesus. So for him, he made the most by saying, I see somebody who can do something about my situation, and he left where he was to be where Jesus was. So let me pause here and say this, because the Holy Spirit gave this to me even this morning. It was the sense that even if we ever been hurt by community, that doesn't mean that we start avoiding people. So as much as he was hurt by people, it didn't stop him from getting connected to Jesus. Are y'all tracking with me? So don't miss those moments when God has presented an opportunity for you to connect with somebody. Don't allow the past hurts to prohibit you from connecting to somebody else. Are y'all tracking with me? Tell your neighbor, don't miss it. Don't miss it. And so what we're going to look at today in this moment is that we're going to see a widowed woman who's persistent in her pursuit of justice. That sometimes even in seizing the moment, it doesn't mean that it's going to happen right away. But there are moments in life that we have to be persistent and continue so that we can see something happen. Okay? Sometimes we give up too quick. Some folks have already heard me use this quote, but I'm just going to give it to you for free again today. This old church mother said to me, something fast won't last, and something quick won't stick. And there are moments in life that we just have to be persistent so that God might show up. Amen? Father, we thank you this morning. Father, we are here to hear from you. God, would you speak to our hearts? God, we ask that we will be open to hear from you, that we won't shut you out, that we won't shut the door on you, but, Father, that we will continue to let you in, to continue to reshape us into your image. So, Father, as we journey through this passage, God, we ask that you would guide us, that you would direct us, and that we would be responsive to what we have heard today. In Jesus' name, amen. According to George Barna, he says the majority of born-again Christians only experience worship just on Sunday mornings. I want y'all to let that sink in. That the majority of born-again Christians only experience worship on Sunday mornings. Now write this down. The current average for a regular attender is 1.7 times a month. So as we think about that, if the majority of people only worship on Sunday mornings, that the majority of the people in here right now are only worshiping God 1.7 times a month. Got quiet right there. And then we wonder why we're in the condition we are in. Because we've relegated worship to just a Sunday morning experience. The idea of worship is a constant pursuit of God. Not when it's just convenient, but because we are compliant, we understand that God desires those who desire him. not just on Sunday. Amen. Write this down. 8 out of 10 believers do not feel they have entered into God's presence or have experienced a genuine connection with Him. 8 out of 10. So just count. Count 10 and say 2 people experienced God this week. It's getting rough through here. Then George Barnard goes on to say, he says, half of all believers said that they have not experienced God's presence or connection in the past year. Even though that's alarming in itself, I think the most alarming thing is that people even in here right now have the assumption that the person that they're sitting next to has a regular, fervent prayer life. Because the reality is that there are some people, if we're honest, if we're going to be real today, that there are some people who are struggling in their prayer life. There are some people who says that I wish my prayer life would be a little bit better than it was last year. There are some people who feel discouraged by their lack of prayer in their life. And so when they look around the room and they see us, they think that we all have it put together. But let's dismiss that right now. From the pastor, from the pulpit, all the way to leaders, to servants, all of us have had periods in our life that we struggle with praying. Okay, y'all gonna leave me by myself today. Because even when I look back, even over my own journey, I can witness that there were peaks and then there were valleys where I felt like I was on a mountaintop with God and it seemed like I could not find God at some point in my life, if I'm being honest about it. And let's say this, when we're honest about it, then we can actually do something about it. If we continue to ignore the reality of our struggles, we'll never get any better. So let's bow for a second. Let's bow for a second. Close your eyes. Don't look. Don't cheat. Don't look on anybody else's paper. And just right where you are. Right where you are. If you're here and you're saying, I need to experience God's presence more than I had been before. Would you just raise your hand right where you are? Nobody's cheating. Nobody's looking. Thank you for being honest. Amen. Here's a quote from St. Augustine, or some say St. Augustine. This is what he says, and you may want to write this down or tweet this. God thirsts to be thirsted after. God thirsts to be thirsted after. Meaning that God loves when we crave Him. God loves when we desire Him. The idea of thirsting is that it's something that is regular, that is repeating. So that, therefore, when we crave, when we thirst for God, that means that it's regular and that it's repeating. That even when we don't sense God's presence, we know that we have His presence and therefore we thirst for Him. So we don't have to wait, watch this, we don't have to wait for the funny feeling on the inside of us to say that God is near. Because we already thirst for Him, we already hunger for Him. Guess what? It affects our behavior for Him. So therefore, when I don't feel Him near, guess what? I'm going to go down to my knees. If I don't feel Him near, I'm going to open my mouth and say, God, I need You. When I don't feel Him near, I'm not going to stop praying, but matter of fact, I'm going to pray harder. Because I don't want to miss God blessing me with His presence. You see, okay. One of the things that we've messed up in the church, we led people to believe that salvation is all about going to heaven. The reality is that when we get saved, it's about experiencing His presence regularly. So when we have lived a life without His presence, guess what? Now we get to live a life with His presence even when we don't feel Him. Okay. Can I be human for a moment? I'm not saying all couples, but some couples experience this. When they have a heated realignment session,
Y'all picking up what I'm putting down, okay? There's this thing you do within a relationship where you just go to the other room. Because you need a time out before it becomes time up. And so what do? You say, okay, let's take a break. Let's step away from the situation. It doesn't mean that you have left one another. They are still in the house. They're still nearby. But here's the thing. You have to make up your mind to reconnect with them. Oh, my gosh. So that means you have to get out of yourself. You have to get out of your feelings and move close to where that person is. And sometimes we do that with God, that we get in these timeouts and we forget that we have to change some things in order to experience his presence. So I can't stay mad at him like, okay, Lord, you didn't bless me this time. I pray you didn't bless me this time. No, I had to start changing. I had to stop thinking about myself and start thinking of things that are above and not beneath. So my action must be I want to pursue him and not what he can do for me. Okay, get quiet right there. Because if we continue to elevate the things we desire more than God, then guess what? It affects our worship. Because then we become disappointed. God, you didn't meet my needs. God, you said ask, and it shall be given. I asked. It ain't showed up yet. Because we've elevated our petition more than his presence. Are y'all tracking with me? We cannot elevate our petitions more than his presence. Because then you'll come up disappointed. Amen? So Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says this. Then we'll get to Luke. And I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. And this is what Eugene Peterson says. And I love this. He says, because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both, watch, that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. Are y'all tracking with me? So the attitude is, if I'm going to approach God, I have to have my mind made up that he, first of all, exists, that he is real. And then when I believe that he's real, then guess what? He cares about me. Not just about the big stuff. But in every area, so I can bring a headache to him, like, Lord, you know, this headache, Jesus, even in the small things, we can bring it to the Lord. So first priority is that we got to pursue him before we start making petitions. We make too many petitions before pursuing him. And you know, I'll take this Holy Ghost liberty right here. Yeah, I've been married for almost going on 14 years, praise the Lord. And you know, I promise you, I can't just go to Sister Bell only with petitions. Y'all going to pick up what I'm putting down? That I need to spend time with her in her presence every now and then. No, it needs to be regular. Before I start asking about anything. And in any relationship, it's about the quality time before the asking. We have too many that want to ask for stuff, but ain't putting nothing into it. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. So when it comes to prayer, pursue God, then ask. Steve Gaines, the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church, he says this. He says, then once you've gotten that squared, you pursue him, then you can ask. He says, our job is to ask. It is God's job to answer. And he says, and I love this, he says, so often we are reluctant in our asking because we think if we ask for something big and it doesn't happen, it's going to embarrass God. But again, the criteria is if you pursue his presence, then guess what? He's already aligning your desires and your priorities with his so that when you're asking for stuff, it's in line with who he is. Oh, God. Oh, God. Because so often we ask for stuff that's not in line with who God is and what he wants to accomplish through us. Then we get mad when it doesn't happen. Okay. Okay. It's getting quiet today. So if we're going to pursue God, then that means we say, God, we want to be in line with you so that in our asking is in line with you. All right, y'all with me? So why pray? I'm glad you asked. We pray because we trust God. Are y'all tracking with me? Write down Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65, 24. You go back and read it. Isaiah 65, verse 24. He says, before we even ask, God will answer. So when we say we're trusting God, we trust that he already has answered before we open our mouth. Okay, y'all don't believe me. Okay, write down Genesis chapter 24. I got some Bible to back that up. Genesis chapter 24, and you're going to look at verses 12 and verse 15. Abraham's servant is going on a pursuit of Isaac's wife. While he's in Mesopotamia, he gets to a place where he's now having to pray. He's praying, watch this, I love this. He's praying for success in finding this wife. I love this. And the Bible says, before he said amen, Rebecca was already showing up. Okay, y'all not helping me today. So before he concluded his prayer, success was already heading his direction because he was praying in line with who God was. So when we pray, he's already got the answer. Maybe we need to say that. Learn how to pray right. So as we get to this persistent widow, we understand this persistence is not because we want to get our way. Our persistence is to get into his presence. Then he answers. So Luke chapter 18, let's pick up at verse 1. I'm slowing down. I got excited. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. When you have it, say, I got it, man. Man. Okay, y'all just left me by myself on that. That's okay. Verse 1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray. And you may want to underline this or highlight it. And not lose heart. Always pray, not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in the city who kept coming to him and saying, and you may want to underline that, she kept coming to him and kept saying to him. So that's an ongoing thing. It didn't just stop at one time. It continued. It continued. Everybody say it continued. Give me justice against my adversary. That was her only prayer. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps on bothering me. Say it like you, bothering me. I will give her justice so that she will leave me alone. Really, that's all he said. That's what he said. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Amen. So we're just going to simply talk about persistence. Amen. Here's the context. Widows during that time were the most impoverished during that time. Not only impoverished, but the most vulnerable. Because in a male-dominated society, it was all the wealth and all the possessions was bound up in the male. You take him out of the equation, no longer does this widow have any protection or any provisions, but now she is exposed. Oftentimes, she found herself being taken advantage of because her needs at times became so great. And so she continued to find herself having someone who continued to oppose her or agitate her. And it doesn't indicate that she tried to fight him or this adversary, but rather she went to someone who can do something about the circumstance. There's this notion, I think, in our faith that, you know, and sometimes it's true, that we pray to God and we leave it with him and stop and don't pick it up again. That's one thought. What this lady teaches us, that there's nothing wrong with praying the same prayer over and over and over again. I already hear what you're saying. Well, does that mean that I'm doubting God or that God is not hearing me? God hears you. Oh, I want y'all to hear that. God hears you, and he's not afraid of your petitions. But sometimes he finds out what's really in us as far in the way of our motives as to why we come to him to begin with. Okay, get quiet right there. Because sometimes we approach God with the wrong motives in mind. Are y'all tracking with me? And so she teaches us that when you go with a sincere need and a sincere issue and you go to the right place, then guess what? Something can be done about the situation. But you cannot lose heart when it doesn't happen right away. Are y'all with me? Because sometimes we give up too soon. Yeah, one of the things I'm learning, just even in my young age, is that sometimes there are some needs that are so great it requires me to exercise faith by continuing to come before God with it. Because really that's a sign of faith, saying, okay, I can't do anything about this situation. This is beyond my capacity, but because of who I know you to be, God, I'm going to keep bringing it back to you. It is not to say that you're incapable or that you can't hear me, but God, I'm trusting that you can handle this a lot better than Steve can. Because if it stays in Steve's hands, oh my gosh, I will mess it up. Or, okay, let's be real. I'll come up with my own plans. I got this. I know who to go to for this. And then we start going to all these other places who can't help me with the situation. If anything, it's going to frustrate me more than anything else because sometimes, well, let's just pray about it. And when people say that, that's just really a dismiss. They're really not looking to even intercede with me. They're really just trying to get rid of me. I'll get quiet right there. Okay. So when we look back at chapter 17, Jesus is teaching us something. We talked about this on yesterday. We talked about the kingdom of God. And Jesus is setting the stage that as he's establishing his kingdom, here's something that's going to happen. Opposition and persecution. There's going to be hardships even within the body of Christ. So let's dismiss this thought that when we get right with Jesus, everything's going to be all right. If anything, once you get it right with Jesus, it's almost like an invitation for problems. Oh, I got quiet right there. And so because Jesus knows that there will be problems when you choose to walk with him, this is what he tells his disciples. He says, don't lose heart. Because in this life, we will experience difficulties and challenges, and he does not want us to give up when these difficulties come. So he starts off by saying, persecution is going to come, but don't lose heart. The opposition may be intense, but don't lose heart, because God hasn't abandoned us. Amen, somebody. God has not given up on us. And so when we see this woman show up on the scene, this is in the back of the apostles' mind. Okay, he's establishing the kingdom. There's going to be some difficulties. He's telling us don't lose heart. And what does not losing heart look like? We look at the woman. Justice has not been given to her. She's impoverished. She has no way out of this situation. But guess what she does? She is persistent to a person who can do something about her situation. Okay, so I understand the reality of my difficulties. I'm following God and there's problems, but I'm not going to lose heart. Why? Because I can go to God at any time with my problems. Because, and I love this, because when you read the story, it gives us the idea that he never once rejected her from coming into his presence. Oh my gosh. Because it says she kept coming over and over and over. I mean, okay, some of us have a hard time with people coming to us one time. And now, even on cell phones, you have an ability to block people. So if you don't want to talk to them, you add them to your block call list. Y'all leave me by myself. So they can no longer have access to you anymore. Okay, y'all see? But he did not block her, because remember, it says he was a judge. That means he was in a powerful position, and yet he continued to give her access to him. Oh my God. He didn't reject her. Now, she was getting on his nerves. But at the same time, it prompted him to do something about the situation. Why? Because he kept hearing her. The beauty of our faith is that we have access to God at any time. Whether it's good or bad or indifferent, we have access, and he never will hit the block button on us. Praise God for that. He's never going to say, Steve, you really getting on my nerves, because you keep coming to me time and time again. Look at this. What do we know about the woman? First of all, we knew she had an adversary. She had no capacity to solve her own problem. She had an adversary. She couldn't solve her problem. She was persistent. How long? We don't know. What we know is that she did not give up. Fourth, she had a genuine need, and she got what she wanted. And really, we can probably put our names in there some kind of way. That Steve had an adversary. He couldn't solve his own problem. He was persistent in pursuing God. He had a real, genuine need. Steve got what he wanted. And just put your name in there. Then let's look at the judge in the story. He didn't fear God. He didn't respect man. Bible says he was unrighteous. He didn't care about the widow. Oh my gosh. He was unwilling to help her at first. And what Jesus was doing was trying to draw a parallel between this unjust, unrighteous judge with a just, righteous father. So let's change this. God is to be feared. God respects man. God was righteous, or God is righteous. He cares about us. And he's willing to help us at all times. So he is not like this unrighteous judge. He is so different. Why? Because, first of all, he doesn't mind us coming to him over and over again with our needs, and he's willing to do something about it. So he's not like this unrighteous judge. So don't treat him like that. Well, I'm coming to you before today, Lord, just with my knees. I don't know if you're going to really do something about it. Because every time, I love, like, you know, sometimes my kids do this every now and then. They'll come to me and they want something. But sometimes they won't ask me because they think they already know the answer to it. I was going to ask you, but I already knew what you was going to say. Have y'all heard that before? Because they already think they know. And then, of course, I want to respond, have daddy ever been unrighteous? Has daddy ever been unjust? Has daddy ever withheld from you? Sometimes. But I'm so glad that our Heavenly Father is not like Steve. He's not sometimey. So that's three things we need to see from this passage about our Father. First and foremost, when we look at verse 7, God hears his people. We need to never fear that God has grown deaf of us. Are y'all tracking with me? His ears are forever eternally open to the cries of his children. Y'all remember me telling you that when my kids would cry, guess what? Daddy would move most of the time. There are other times I say, hey, baby, they're calling you. They just. And then she hunched me back. It's your turn. So God's ears are forever open to our cries. He's not like the unjust judge. He's willing to hear us and not kick us to the curb. Are y'all with me? All right. When we look at verse 7, also write this down. God honors persistence. He says, though he bear long with them. Sometimes there are moments where we have prayers that are answered immediately, but then there's sometimes we need to wait on the Lord and that we come before him with our petitions regularly. Are y'all with me? That just because he doesn't answer right now, I mean, I think sometimes we treat God as if he's like a genie in a bottle. Like if I rub him just the right way, and what I mean by that, if I rub him with the right kind of words, if I say the right kind of words to the Lord, then I know I'm going to get a response. And that's the kind of lie we tell ourselves. It's about the words rather than the pursuit. When I pursue the Lord, it doesn't matter what my words that come out of my mouth. It doesn't matter if I stumble or stutter through it. As long as I say, God, I desire you more than what I'm praying for, then guess what? It's not about rubbing the right way, but it's about pursuing the right way. Then he shows up according to his time. Oh, gosh. Okay. According to his time. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Then you look at verse 8, and just the A portion of that, it shows us that God handles petitions. He handles the petition in his way. So let's resist this temptation, because this is some of the prayers I've heard before. We come before God with a prayer, and it's a certain kind of way, and we want God to show up a certain kind of way. We tell the Lord how we want him to show up. Y'all, don't leave me by myself. We go to him, say, God, I need you to show up in this kind of way, rather than saying, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? So, again, when we go back to the model prayer, what is it? It's about elevating God to his proper place. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Watch, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, not my kingdom be established. Because sometimes our prayers is that we want our kingdom to flourish more than his. Okay, got quiet right there. So it's about humility. So God, as I'm coming before you with an humble heart, God, I want you to guide me. So that when I ask, it's in line with your will, your kingdom coming, not mine being established, okay? So let's make sure we get it right. Tell your neighbor, get it right. And then lastly, in this, don't be reluctant in pursuing God. There's nothing wrong, as I said before, about praying the same prayer over and over. Let me give you some examples. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that he prayed three times for this cup to pass. Do y'all catch that? Jesus, who is God, is praying to the Father not one time, not two times, but on three different occasions about the same thing. And if Jesus prays the same prayer, who are we to not pray the same prayer? You hear my sermon. Paul did the same thing. He prayed three times for this thorn to be removed from his flesh. So there's nothing wrong with coming before God with your petitions. Nothing wrong with coming with the same one. Are y'all with me? But here's some things you got to work on as you go to God in prayer. There's four things, and then we'll raise up on out of here. There's four things. First of all, your relationship matters to God. Your relationship matters to God. You can't go in there all kind of any kind of way, okay? Write down Mark chapter 11.
verses 24 through 24. I'm sorry, 24 through 25. Y'all must need to read verse 24 twice. This is what it says. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, watch this, if you have anything against anybody, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So if you are carrying around any issues against somebody else and you're trying to petition the Lord, he's going to, I almost going to say slap you in the face, but he's going to shut the door on you. He wants you to go get it right first before he hears you. All right? Secondly, your motives matter. Write down James chapter 4, verse 3. He says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. It got quiet right there. So if we go to God, our motives must be pure. So what motivates you on why you go to God and pray to begin with? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Why am I going to God in prayer? Am I going just because I'm going to run off my grocery list of issues? Or because I really want to experience his presence? All right? So don't just write down your prayer request and then take it before him and say, okay, I'll see you next week. Thirdly, the way you live matters. Watch what it says. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So if your life is a hot mess, get quiet right there. Your prayers will not be effective. So if you don't get your stuff together and confess your sins, and he gives us a couple different vehicles to confess our sins. Confess it to him and confess it to others. Woo! Get quiet right there. Confess it to God and confess it to other people. Not everybody, not Facebook. Because some folks confess too much on Facebook. But they only do that because they don't want any really response back. Okay. So when you confess in community, then it's a sense of accountability there. Are y'all tracking with me? Then fourthly, your faith matters. Your relationship matters, your motives matters, the way you live matters, and fourthly, your faith matters. But when he asks, and this is from James chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of sea being blown tossed back and forth by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. So when we pray, it's with belief and not doubt. Because if you doubt, he says, you won't receive anything. That's why he challenges us over and over to walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. So when I go before God, it's because I'm trusting and believing that he is who he say he is. Are y'all with me? And he rewards those who diligently seek him. And if we diligently seek him, if we're persistent in our pursuit, God will show up. God will answer prayer. Don't give up. Tell your neighbor, be persistent. Tell the other neighbor, be persistent. Now I want you to do me a favor. As we get ready to go to God in prayer, first and foremost, let's make sure we align ourselves with him. God, we desire you above anything else. And then write down what the need is. Because remember, She kept going before his presence because she knew who he was. She knew his capacity and what he was able to do. Then she brought the need. We got to know who God is before we approach him. Then we bring the need. Are y'all with me? Write it down. We'll give you a second. Whatever it is, whatever you're needing God for and believing God for, write it down. And because we're a community of faith, guess what we're going to do? We're going to share that with somebody. Don't try tucking your Bible now. Don't scratch through anything. Whatever it is the Lord can do for you, we want to pray in community. Amen.